We have been called, like Israel, think about this, think about the challenge. We have been called to do the same thing. Only we're not building a structure with wood, with stones, right? We are called as living stones with Christ as our foundation that we can celebrate just like them. And now God is using each of us as living stones to be built up to make this beautiful temple for the God of the universe. And so consider the challenge this morning. Are we using our time wisely? Are we using our time for the kingdom of God? We've been called with a purpose. That's what 1 Peter says. Have we been using our time for the glory of God?
Abounding in Faith is the broadcast ministry of Emmanuel Bible Church of Howell, New Jersey. If you are blessed by this message, please subscribe to our podcast or YouTube channel. You can also download our app by searching for IBCNJ in the Google Play Store or the Apple Store. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org. Our speaker today is Pastor Mike Hurd.
We're going to be looking at a passage in Haggai. I'm not going to say Haggai, that gets people upset. Haggai. He's a small prophet in the Old Testament, the third from last book in the Old Testament. So if you need a little help finding it, Malachi is the last one, then Zechariah is just before that, and then Haggai is just before that. How was everybody's Christmas? Everybody had a good Christmas? Isn't it great? The worship team, the Christmas Eve service was absolutely beautiful. To see so many families celebrating Christmas together was a joy, Christmas Eve. And then the worship team and the choir and the work they did. What a celebration. Was really beautiful, guys. Thank you so much, John, Sue, the team. It was really beautiful. Well, this morning we're going to look at Haggai. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. So if you're there, what I'd like to do is read. So can everybody stand for the reading of God's word? Is everybody in Haggai? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. We're going to read the first seven verses, and then we'll get into our message. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. And Lord, you're such an awesome God. We just love just coming here corporately this morning and just really just loving you back with how much you loved us. And Lord, we're asking by faith that you would just take this passage, this word, this beautiful treasure. Lord, that you would just to give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, and Lord, conform us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. That's our desire. So take charge, Lord. It doesn't happen through us. It happens through your Holy Spirit. So take charge this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please be seated. So can you believe I'm going to say this? It is actually December 29th, 2024. Isn't that amazing? Where did that year go? It's unbelievable how fast. I think the older I get, it seems like the years just keep going faster and faster and faster. But as 2024 ends and as 2025 comes upon us in a couple days, It's always good to take inventory of our lives and to make adjustments where we think we can improve our lives. Who here has ever committed to a New Year's resolution? That's it? Really? Come on, guys. Is anybody up? Is anybody awake right now? All right. Who here is committed to a New Year's resolution? All right. Everybody's done it, right? We've all had these times in our seasons where we start over. And so I thought it would be good this morning for us to talk about new starts. Let's look at 2025 and let's take some inventory of our lives and let's see what we can do, what adjustments we can make, and what resolutions we want to make for 2025. Right? There are diets. Has anybody ever committed to a new diet for the new year? I'm not going to look at anybody. I'm looking up. Has anybody ever committed to an exercise program? Gotten through a few weeks, right? And then also there's the spiritual side of it, right? We've all committed, right? Everybody's made that commitment. Who here has ever made that commitment? I'm going to read through the Bible in a year, right? I don't want to ask who finished it because I know the answer. So we have one. We have a taker. As believers, what's beautiful about our faith is God is a God of new starts, right? We're going to look at a story today where Israel, God gave them a new start. They struggled, and then God gives them another start, right? We have a God who, I love Proverbs 24:16, is so encouraging. I think about this verse all the time. For the righteous fall seven times and rises again, right? The righteous fall seven times and rises again. Has everybody here fallen seven times? I don't know about you, but I've fallen seven times 70, right? And yet God is a God of mercy. I love what the scripture says in Lamentations. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Isn't that beautiful? God's mercies are new every morning. And so that's what we depend upon, God's mercy, right? So as the new year starts, let's consider some adjustments. Ooh, that was, my voice just cracked. Adjustments we would like to make heading into 2025. And so we're going to look at Haggai. God put Haggai on my heart because Haggai made a big impact on my life. At one point in my life, I'm just going to share a quick testimony. I walked myself into Haggai, and I studied it, and it made such an impact that I thought this morning, this would be the perfect text for new starts, all right? And so if you look in your text in Haggai chapter 1, God challenges his people twice, if you just what we just read, in verses 5 and 7, to consider their ways. Consider their ways, all right? Consider. To give careful thought. We want to give, as we enter 2025, we want to give careful thought to our spiritual life and where we are in our relationship with God. God calls his people here in Haggai to give careful thought to their ways, calling them to a new start. Always calling us to a new start. So what a great time for us to do the same. So, but we just read Haggai chapter 1. What I'd like to do, please pay attention because this is so important to the text. I want to set the scene a little bit. All right, here we are looking at the history of Israel, right? Haggai approaches the people and he challenges the people, let's get to work. But how did they get to this spot to where they're not doing God's work? And so I just want to set the scene. I want to go back 15 years before this and kind of set the scene. Israel, the people of God, had turned from God. They were worshiping idols, and really just abandoned the God of Israel. And so what does God do? God sends Babylon to chasten them and to take them into captivity. And they're in captivity for 70 years, as God promised. But then God does something supernatural. He raises up this king of Persia, King Cyrus. And he stirs up in this king's heart. Now think about this. This is a king, right? He doesn't know the Lord. But God stirs up his heart. This is how important God's work in his kingdom is to him. He stirs up the heart of this king of Persia. And listen to what this proclamation that the king of Persia cries out to his nation, to all his people. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heavens, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, may his God be with him, and let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, of the God of Israel. So God does this incredible thing. He raises up in the heart of the king of Persia this desire to build God's temple. And what he does through Cyrus is he makes this proclamation to all the people of the land. I want the people of Israel to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild this temple. Let them go. And so 40,000, a remnant of 40,000, pick up and they head back to Jerusalem to rebuild this temple. And what's beautiful about it is, if you read in Ezra chapter 2, they all had their special gifts, their special talents to go back and perform this task that God had given them. And not only that, but King Cyrus tells all the people of Persia now to give them everything they need for their own sustenance and for the task of rebuilding the temple. That's a miracle. That's a miracle in itself. And so we have this 40,000 go back with everything they need to rebuild the temple. And it's so exciting. If you read Ezra chapter 4, and they go to work, and they get back 40,000 strong, and right off the bat, they set up the sacrificial system. They set their altar up in Jerusalem, and they start sacrificing, and they're celebrating. They go right to work. The temple foundation is built. And they have another huge celebration and sacrifice. God's work is thriving. It's going forward. And then an enemy. And the work stops. It stops. Nobody's lifting a finger. For 15 years, the work stopped. And that's when Haggai comes on the scene. And he confronts the people. God, through the prophet Haggai, confronts the people and tries to get their attention. Guys, you got to get back to work. You got to get back to work. So look with me at Haggai. Look with me at Haggai chapter 1. Again, the work stopped for 15 years, and God sends this prophet Haggai. And look with me at Haggai chapter 1. And I love the detail and the intentionality in the passage. If you notice, if you're looking at it with me, say amen. All right? Right? If you look at it in verse 1, look at the intentionality of what God is trying to put forward, right? In verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai. And then in verse 2, it says, thus says the Lord of hosts. And then in verse 3, it says, the word of the Lord came. And then in verse 5, it says, thus says the Lord of hosts. And then in verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts. And then in verse 8, says the Lord. You think God is trying to make a point? Who's talking here? The God of angel armies is addressing his people. And if he's doing that here to the nation of Israel, if there's some application for us, if God is speaking to us, let's step back and let's hear what he has to say. Let's hear what he has to say. Look with me at verses 2 through 4. And if you've got the little handout, I hope you know that in the bulletin, there's a little handout that you can follow along with the message, gives you the scriptures, and it gives you the ability to take notes. So hopefully you're doing that this morning. So my first note for our message this morning was consider your ways. All right? In verses 2 and 4, we see God say this. This people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. All right. Now, right off the bat, if you look at verse 2, that should really sober them, because look at how God addresses them where he says, these people. Throughout the Old Testament, he calls them my people. Here, right off the bat, he's getting their attention. He's saying, these people. Right? These people who are supposed to be doing my work, right? and rebuilding my house. So right off the bat, we see some derogatory remark and try to get their attention and sober them. Look at verse 4. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? You can almost see the picture. Here's Haggai. He comes on the scene. He's addressing the leaders of the nation of Israel, and he's standing here before the temple, and the temple is, the altar is there, the foundation's there, and you can almost see Haggai, and he says, look at your houses. Whew. Nice. Look at my house. What? You can almost, when you're in the scene, it must have been so sobering to them. I can't imagine the conviction that came upon the people of Israel when he said that. Whew, 15 years ago, that's what we were called to do, guys. Look at it. Look at it. So these people, right? And guys, think about the application. Just think about the application of that, right? They're building their own houses. Search your heart and look at the house of God, right? These people, that derogatory remark, were using their time, talents, and treasure for their own kingdoms and not for God's kingdom. And so he challenges them and he says, consider your ways. Give careful thought to this. And so, guys, as we look at this passage this morning, what I'd love to do is, this is supposed to be a mirror for us. So as a mirror, the Word of God, as we look into the mirror, right, when we wake up in the morning, what do? Well, I got to straighten that out. Oh, I must have drooled a little bit last night. Right? Wipe that off. We correct ourselves. Right? So this morning, we want to look into this passage and into the mirror of the Word of God and see their Israel here is blowing it with their time, talents, and treasure. And let's examine our own lives in light. Let's consider our own ways. So let's look at time first, right? We're supposed to be good stewards of our time for God's glory. So here in our passage, God calls these people through Cyrus to a mission to rebuild this temple. They go back, they do everything, there's great excitement, boom, the work stops, 15 years. God is lovingly nudging them through that whole 15 years, and then he sends Haggai to remind them. They stopped. So think about the challenge to us with IBC. With the local church here, right? Listen to what First Peter says. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We have been called, like Israel, think about this, think about the challenge. We have been called to do the same thing. Only we're not building a structure with wood, with stones, right? We are called as living stones with Christ as our foundation that we can celebrate just like them. And now God is using each of us as living stones to be built up to make this beautiful temple for the God of the universe. And so consider the challenge this morning. Are we using our time wisely? Are we using our time for the kingdom of God? We've been called with a purpose. That's what 1 Peter says. Have we been using our time for the glory of God? How about our talents? Right? We saw in our passage this morning and in Ezra, that 40,000 of God's people, each with their own skill, each with their own talents, called for a purpose to rebuild the temple. They're called back. They start. And what did they use their skills for? Think about this. I was so challenged by this. What did they use their skills for? their own houses. Look at how nice they are. And here's the temple of God lying in ruins. Wow, what a challenge. I was so sobered by this. So sobered by this. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 12 tells us as believers. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Everyone in here that's a believer in Jesus Christ and has been regenerated and born again through the Holy Spirit of God, they have been given, each of you, each of us has been given a gift from the Holy Spirit. And what I love about this verse, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. That common good, in the original language, Pharaoh, to bring together, sum, together for a purpose. Sum Pharaoh, to bring together in the sense of contributing. Everybody here has been given a spiritual gift for the sense of what? For the sense of the community. Not for us to build up our own selves, not for us to build up our own lives, but for the good of the church, for the common good of the church that we're in. What an amazing challenge of, are you, as we consider our ways, are you using your talents? Are you using your time for the glory of God? And then the most, probably the most sensitive of all, this is where you really start getting people under people's skin a little bit, is treasure. How are you using your treasure? Think about what happened. What I love about this passage is God had given the people, these 40,000, this remnant of Israel, he's given them 40,000, given this 40,000, everything they need to rebuild the temple. Everything. And then in verse 7 and in verse 8, we see that God says, go, rebuild this temple, go up on the mountain, go get the wood you need, go get the supplies you need. And you have to think, what happened to the supplies they were already given? And you wonder, when you look over at their houses, did they squander what God had given them for his temple, for his kingdom, and for his glory? Did they squander what was given them and put it into their own houses, or just let it rot? And so the challenge is to consider our ways. Are we using the treasure God has given us for his kingdom? Or are we like these people? And I just want to challenge you to think carefully, right? In 2 days, we're going to all, maybe some of us will be doing New Year's resolutions. And in our passage here, God is challenging us to consider our ways. And really just stop and think. All right, Lord. Yeah, I'm gonna try that diet. Yeah, I'm going to do the exercise. But Lord, my time, my talents, and my treasure, can I prayerfully consider, Lord, what you might be doing in my life to get me to adjust some of my ways in those areas? Amen? Right? And so we see that Israel was falling short with times, talents, and treasure. And I think we should be challenged to really consider ourselves and what we're doing in our own lives. We live, when our Wednesday night, our Thursday night Bible study in Brick, we went through this book by David Platt, and it was called Radical. And in that book, what he does, and I encourage you to read it, it's not in a guilty way, but in a convicting way. What he does in that book is he really challenges the church in America to examine their hearts and to look at, you know, what we prioritize. Are we investing everything we have into our nice homes, into building our own kingdoms, while God's house lies in ruins? And so just really, again, I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm trying to convict you to make some adjustments in the new year. Lord, what can I do with my time, talents, and treasure to honor you? What are you calling me to? All right? And so if you're looking at your notes, my second point is some things to consider, or what to consider. Here are some things that I saw that Israel had made a mistake. And sometimes I think, guys, we make the same mistake. And so I want to learn from them on how we can move forward in 2025. And the first thing I saw in verses 2 through 4 is they had misplaced priorities. Look at verse 4 again. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Right? Again, they had these priorities to build their own kingdom, and they misplaced their priorities. Think about why they were sent back and what now they have accomplished. And I think about, how about us? 1 Peter again says this, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, his people, that we may do what? That we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Have we lost our priority in doing that? And I'm examining myself, guys. Think about this. When we come to Christ, we're here and we're put on a mission. What is that mission? To share the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others can go from darkness to light. Others can go from darkness to light. And how are we doing with that mission? Have we misplaced our priorities like the nation of Israel? Again, just a challenge. How are we doing with that? I'm really challenged to challenge myself. I had gotten away so much from sharing Christ with people. Guys, so now when we go out to eat, my wife and I, we try to remember to bring a track. We try to create a conversation with our waiter, our waitress. We're trying to, as we see people in public or as we're having discussions with people, hey, you believe in God? Most people, yeah, I believe in God. You believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. You believe in heaven? Yeah, I believe in heaven. Well, do you know how to get to heaven? I got to be good. I got to help my neighbor across the street. I got to do all these nice things. And you say to them, well, if you can go to heaven by being nice and being good and doing all good things, then why did Jesus Christ come and die on a cross? No, because of Christ, we can have heaven. Because of our faith, our full weight in what he accomplished on the cross, we can go to heaven. Not by anything we've done. Not by any works that we've done. But what he accomplished for us. And then because of our love, because of what he expressed towards us, then the good works just flow. So let's examine how we're doing with these misplaced priorities. Are we building God's kingdom? Are we out there with the gospel? Are we sharing Christ with the world? Are we investing our lives here and building up this kingdom for God? The local church in America is really, really struggling, especially with the next generation. Especially with the next generation. And who do we have to blame for that? Not him. Right? And so we see Israel had some misplaced priorities, and I think sometimes we do the same thing. Number two, I saw within the nation of Israel that they were dissatisfied. If you look at verse 6 with me, look at verse 6 in Haggai chapter 1. He tells them, you have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. He who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Who here works hard? I'm looking at Billy and Maureen. Oy vey. Right? Right? We all work hard. And so what God is calling Israel to do now with how they work hard is look at what you're doing. You're working really, really hard, but you're not satisfied. You never have enough. Right? We live in a culture that is telling us we need one more thing. And then when we get that thing, you need one more thing. Right? We live in a culture that urges us to never be satisfied, right? And so we keep investing and keep investing in this world, and we're messing up. It's wrong. It's just so wrong. Because what truly satisfies, guys? This is where we have to park ourselves and find ourselves. Please listen to these verses, because I examine myself as I listen to these verses. Isaiah 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy, eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. He gives us this beautiful invitation to buy something without money. It's a free gift. It's Christ. And so he invites us into this beautiful relationship. He says, come, buy. And then listen to what he says. After this beautiful invitation, God asks this in verse 2 in Isaiah 55. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? I always have to remind myself that there's only one place that I'm going to find my satisfaction. And that's Jesus Christ. You can chase everything else in the world. True satisfaction is only found in one place, and it's free. It doesn't get any better than that. But we tend to be like Israel. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 2, I believe. Jeremiah confronts the people. And he says this, for my people have committed two evils. The first evil, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Examine yourselves, right? This beautiful passage in Jeremiah. We've committed two evils. His people have committed two evils, right? We've forsaken him, the fountain of living waters. He is what satisfies. And here's the second evil. They've hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water, that can never satisfy. Just a beautiful picture of people who run after so many other things and dig cisterns and struggle and dig and try to find water, and we're trying to find water, and God's like, I got it. I got it for you. So where are you finding your satisfaction? Where are you finding your satisfaction? Find it in him and him alone. So like Israel, they had misplaced priorities. They were dissatisfied, looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. And then the third point I want to make is God was trying to get their attention. If you look at Haggai chapter 1, look at verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And then look at verse 9. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you bought it home, I blew it away. Who blew it away? Who blew it away? God. And then he says later on in verse 11, I have called for a drought. He was trying to get their attention. And so he's physically creating these things in his life to try and get their attention and try to draw them back to the main purpose of why they were there, the mission why they were there. Start building my temple. Because look at verse 9 and 10. This is why God blew it away. This is why he called for a drought. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lies in ruins, while your houses are beautiful. So think about, is God trying to get your attention? And I know this is how God works, so I'm gonna stress this a little bit. The next couple days, if you want to start a New Year's resolution in 2025, pray, Lord, help me, Father, to see. Help me to see what you want me to do. Help me to see how you're trying to get my attention. And help me to make corrections, Lord, that you might be glorified in my life. Right? And so God is trying to get their attention to call back to the building of the temple. And so that we have the three things that we want to adjust in our lives. But here I want to look at verse 8, and I'm going to finish with this. in verse 8. I love verse 8. It's my favorite verse of the whole text. You there with me? Say amen. Amen. God reminds them of their mission and the outcome of filling that mission. Again, I tell you, it says, go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house. Again, God is a God of second and third chances. He's calling them. He's not erasing them. He's saying, guys, okay, go up on the hills. Let's get started. All right? The key is when we stop working, to get back to work. Never give up. He's a God of mercy. And then look at the results. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house. Look at this, that I may take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified. I love that. Who here wants to bring pleasure to God? Who here wants to glorify God with everything they've got? I love that. That's what I want to do with my whole life, for the rest of my life. I just want to glorify Him, and I just want to please Him. And whatever that looks like, which leads me to my third and final point. Consider from this day forward. So what do we do with this, right? We have 2024 ending, 2025 coming. What do we do with everything that we just learned from Haggai? How do we take our time, talent, and treasure? How do we take our misplaced priorities? How do we misplaced satisfaction? Is God trying to get my attention? What do we learn from all this? And I want to talk very practically now, right? So there's a couple different things we can do to adjust on our lives. There are personal things. Right? Lord, this is what I'm going to do in 2025. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start over. I'm going to get in my prayer closet, and I'm going to labor intensely for the kingdom of God and for your glory. Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get into your word. I'm going to read it through in a year, and I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to read through your word in a year, and I'm going to let that be my priority. Those are some personal things, but here in a context, Haggai and God is confronting Israel in a corporate sense. And so some corporate resolutions that I want to challenge you guys with. I want to go back to that picture. Please listen to this. This church is not this building. This church is you and me. It's a living organism. It's organic, right? And we, each of us, look around the room right now. Each of everyone sitting around you is a living stone. And what is God trying to do here? He's trying to build a temple. He's trying to build a temple that would bring him glory and that would attract people to him. Now, where can I fit in here, Pastor Mike? Challenge yourself. You have a gift. Are you using that gift for the body of Christ? Are you growing? Can you get into a small group? Can you come alongside somebody younger and disciple? I know Pastor Joe really desires for this to be a praying church. So we're going to set a day aside just for prayer. Can you become a prayer warrior for the glory of God and make a commitment to that? Just a beautiful challenge. A beautiful challenge. I heard from one pastor, and this has always kind of hit my heart. I want you to think about this. Do you attend IBC, or do you belong? There's a big difference. There's a big difference. Are you a part of the body of Christ, and are you a part of that living organism? And so I'm going to finish. And if you go back to Haggai, my last point is consider from this day forward. Consider from this day forward. I just challenged you with a lot of different things from Haggai and from learning from the nation of Israel. And I know when I did a study of Haggai so many years ago, and my wife and I were living in our old house on Lexington Drive, years ago I finished the study. And I read this phrase where it says, consider from this day forward. And I took that literally. And in our old house, on the door going down to the basement was a calendar. It was there all the time. year after year. My wife was faithful with putting up a calendar on this door. And there's a reason for that, is because the calendar was the perfect size to hide the hole that was in the door, so we didn't want anybody to see that. I remember doing a study through Haggai, and I walked up to that calendar, and the date that I signed it, I said, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours from this day, right here. I'm yours. My time, my talent, and my treasure. You will be my priority. And like Israel, do I fall? And do I struggle? And I remember his mercies are new every day. And I get up and I walk in that mercy. But it's just that time of year, guys, where just take inventory of your lives and let us consider our ways as we start this new year. Has God done great things for us? We just sang about it. Has God done great things for us? Amen. That was weak. Has God done great things for us? Amen. I'll finish with this too. In Joshua 24, Joshua writes this. He recounts all that God had done for Israel. How God had chosen them, how God had provided for them, how God had redeemed them, how God had protected them, how he fought for them, how he delivered them, and how much he loved them. The beginning of Joshua 24, he recounts all these things that he had done for the nation of Israel. And now think about how we apply that. Think about everything we have in Christ. I get overwhelmed when I think about everything I have in Christ. Think about it. And then Joshua challenges Israel after he recounts everything that God has done with him. Then Joshua challenges Israel, and the challenge is to me and you. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your father served in the region behind the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, or this God of wealth, the God of everything that the world tries to sell you, are you going to serve them? And Joshua says this, but for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, you're an amazing God. Thank you for the mirror of your word, Lord. And just thank you so much for how you preserved these beautiful stories of people who have stumbled and fumbled in the past, and how, Lord, you just persevered and you continue to call them and let them get back up. And Israel right here, Lord, gets back up and they finish your temple and you're magnified and you're glorified. And Lord, help us to do the same. Help us, Lord, not to walk out of here today with guilt, but with conviction, Lord, to be about your business. Make you our priority. Make you our satisfaction. And to use our time and talents and treasure to magnify your name and to bless you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this morning. We look forward to 2025, what you're going to do and what you're going to do in each of our lives for your namesake and for your glory. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the previous message. We pray that you were blessed by it. For more information, please visit us at www.ibcnj.org.